I'm thankful for the opportunity to preach the Word. I'm thankful for the opportunity to listen to the Word. When we get to hear our pastor and other people preaching, that's also, of course, a great blessing. You can turn, please, to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. And we're going to be reading verses 18 and 19 there. And then we're going to read Matthew chapter 18. Verses 15 to 20, and our topic today is binding and loosing. We're going to be looking at what the Bible teaches about binding and loosing. So that will be a blessing. All right, Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, the Lord Jesus says to Peter, "And I will give unto thee, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And then to go to Matthew chapter 18. There Peter was addressed as representative of the apostles, because he's the one who said that Christ is the Son of God in the context. And here the whole church has the same thing that was given to Peter there. Matthew 18, "Moreover, thy brother shall trespass against thee. Go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother." Matthew 18, 16. "But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." All right, so now we have these texts here about binding on earth and that being bound in heaven and loosing on earth and being loosed in heaven. Now, this topic is not preaching the whole lot what this passage is about. So I suspect probably many of you have never heard a message specifically on what binding and loosing are. And actually, because of the things that have taken place already, it's going to be a shorter message because of our time. But that's okay. We'll get through whatever we can get through here. And so what this is talking about, it's talking about the Pope and how he's infallible and how he binds on earth whatever he wants and he looses whatever he wants. That's what the passage is about. Well, maybe that's not what it's about. But that's certainly one thing that people say it is. Is this passage about that? Or a lot of charismatics say this is talking about binding Satan in prayer. You go and you bind Satan and then you can go and do whatever he wants and you have freedom to go and say shabla bubla shabla bubla or whatever else you're doing with that. Is that what this passage is about? What is this passage about? Well, let's see what these binding and loosing terms are about. Now, Peter was told this in Matthew 16 as representative of the apostles, and then the entire assembly, the pre-Pentecost church, or what you might call, what Pastor calls the embryonic church, was given it in Matthew chapter 18. And so we see that for the whole church in Matthew 18, it's a ye, whatsoever ye shall bind shall be bound, and so on. So, what is this talking about, this binding and loosing? Well, what it's talking about, it's binding and loosing refers, I'm going to give you the definition, and then we're going to prove that from Scripture, and then we're going to make application of that. The binding and loosing refers to making decisions about what is right and wrong, about the regulation of right behavior and teaching. So binding and loosing is authoritative proclamation of what biblical doctrine is, and binding upon people's consciences and hearts whatever is they need to do, and loosing them from whatever they don't need to do. Okay, so that's what binding and loosing is. It's authoritative teaching of God's word. This concept of binding and loosing, I'll just read you a quote from John Gill in his commentary, Matthew 16, 19. He said, "This refers to doctrines or declaration of what is lawful and unlawful, free or prohibited to be received or practiced, in which sense the words bound and loosed are used in the Talmudic writings," those are these Jewish writings, "without number, for that which is forbidden and declared to be unlawful, and for that which is free of use and pronounced to be so. In multitudes of places we read of one rabbi binding and of another loosing. Thousands and tens of thousands of instances of this kind might be produced. A whole volume of extracts on this head might be compiled." So the Jews all the time are talking about binding as authoritative teaching, you need to do this. Loosing is saying you don't need to do that. All right, that was a common, very common thing in that day. Authoritative teaching referred to as binding and loosing. It's similar, actually, in Matthew 23:2. You don't need to look at that, but the concept there of the Pharisees sitting in Moses' seat. What were they? What does that mean, sitting in Moses' seat? That was also the place of authoritative teaching. And you can see that in Matthew 5:1 and 2, Matthew 26:55, and a multitude of other texts where that's authoritative teaching. Now, how do we know the binding and loosing? Well, one, that's the general background. Binding and loosing is authoritative teaching and preaching of the word, so that's the cultural background. And we also see that from other passages of Scripture also. So, for example, in Matthew 23 and verse 4, if you will look over there, we have binding here used of what the scribes and Pharisees were doing and them authoritatively teaching here things that were false. And they were binding. What were they binding? They were improperly binding. Well, here in Matthew 23:4, it says that, "For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers." So here, they were requiring people to do all kinds of traditions that weren't in the Bible. So they're binding burdens that were grievous and heavy to be borne on people. If you look at Luke 11:52 is another passage that relates to this also. Here, remember in Matthew 16, we had a reference to, I will give unto you a reference to the key in Matthew 16 and verse, I'm in Matthew 18, no wonder I can't find it. But in you don't need to look back in Matthew 16, but if you remember there, it says, "I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven." What's this thing with the keys? Again, it relates to this authoritative teaching. You can see here in Luke 11:52, "Woe unto you lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in ye hindered." So authoritative teaching and preaching of the word, which the church does, is binding and loosing. And this has divine authority behind it. That's the image of the keys. The image of the keys is tied back. If you look at Isaiah 22, verse 22, we see this, something that relates to this image of the keys. The keys of the kingdom of heaven, there in Matthew chapter 16. And here, a key image also. So in Matthew 16, Peter, as one of the apostles, possessed the divine authority as represented by the metaphor of the keys. And now here in Isaiah 22 and verse 22, we have the steward of the house of Hezekiah. And it says here he's replacing another steward who wasn't doing what was right. And concerning this new steward, it says, "And the key of the house of David," so the authority to be the steward of the house of David, "will I lay upon his shoulder. So he shall open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open." And the shut open is also similar to the binding and loosing image. So here there's this authority, and it's related to shutting, opening, binding, and loosing. So what are some examples of the use of this, this authoritative teaching? Why did Christ tell Peter that whatever he would bind would be bound, and whatever he would loose would be loosed? What is this? How does this play out? Well, for example, in the book of Acts, we see this, how Peter used the authority to bind and loose. For example, in Acts 15, he was the instrument of proclaiming that the Old Testament ceremonies, circumcision, dietary laws, the festival days, those things were loosed. You didn't need to obey those anymore. They no longer were binding on you. So he loosed people from those things in Acts 15. He proclaimed the end of the distinction between the Jews and the Gentiles in the church age in Acts 10 and Acts 11. And so he loosed those regulations that were not passed anymore based on God's declaration. And what did he bind them to? Well, he bound them to New Testament worship and lifestyle, and he loosed them from Old Testament worship and lifestyle. So binding and loosing was his authoritative preaching and teaching of the word, like Peter did, binding on men's consciences what they need to do from God and loosing what they did not need to do from God. So that is what the image is there. Now, if you look at Matthew chapter 18, it's not a teaching like where... It's not what the Catholics say, where the Pope can just kind of say whatever he wants, and that becomes binding. Because, for example, in Matthew 16, comparing to Isaiah 22, Peter was like the steward. He was the chief administrative officer of the kingdom of heaven. And so he has the keys so that he can open and shut and shut and open. Now, the steward, though, isn't the owner. In Isaiah 22, when he had the keys and he could do that, there were keys not to the outer gate of the city to determine who gets in, but they were keys to the storehouses so he can make provision for the household. So I can make provision for the household as the steward in Isaiah 22. I'm the steward. I can get stuff out and I can provide food for the people. It's not I get to decide who gets in the city, who doesn't. So the key image is this authority to teach and preach the word. It's not that I get to keep people out of heaven. It's not like they think, you know, here's Peter standing at the gate of the city, and you ask him if you can get in, and he asks you if you said enough Hail Marys or whatever, and then he lets you in or not. That's not it at all. It's authoritative teaching and preaching of the word. Also, it's not a sort of charismatic binding of Satan type thing. It's actually this authoritative teaching, and you can see that, for example, in Matthew 18. If you'll pay attention here, look at Matthew 18 and verse 18. Notice there it says, "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven." So notice it doesn't say, "Whosoever ye shall bind." It says, "Whatsoever ye shall bind." So this is talking about teachings. It's the Greek neuter. That's why it's translated whatsoever. It's talking about binding things, binding truth, loosing truth from God that was given out. It's not talking about binding persons or binding angels, unfallen or fallen, or Peter as an apostle doing whatever. It's whatsoever ye shall bind. So it's an authoritative proclamation of preaching and teaching the word. Now, in Matthew 18 here, we can see that this authoritative proclamation is associated with church discipline. So the church is preaching, "Thus saith the Lord, this is what the Bible says, you need to do this." And if somebody in the church doesn't listen to the authoritative proclamation of the truth, then you go to him alone and try to fix it. You take two or three. If he doesn't listen to them, then you take it to the church and he is removed from the church if he doesn't listen. So that's how this fits into the context here. So he gives that command in Matthew 18 because the church has the authority to proclaim authoritatively what the truth is from God. And then he says, so that's how the pre-context of Matthew 18:18 fits. We can see that the church has the authority to do this. If you don't listen to it, you get excommunicated. You get removed from the church membership. Binding and loosing is not specifically joining the membership of the church, though it's related to it. When you join the church, you agree to the church covenant, you are kind of putting yourself under the authority of the church. You're agreeing to the keys as they exercise that. But specifically, the binding, since it's whatsoever, not whosoever, it is actually this authoritative teaching, and you listen to that, and you agree with that, and you set yourself under that because you realize this is what the Bible says, this is good, we're going to fit into this. And so that's how that fits into the pre-context. And then why does he bring up prayer in verse 19, where he says, "If two or three of you agree is touching anything"? Why is that verse following this binding and loosing verse? Well, it's because we seek the Lord for wisdom. We want God to give us wisdom about what the Bible says, so that we can preach and teach what it actually says. We need God's help. We need the illumination of the Spirit to know what the Bible says so that we can bind and loose in a right way instead of binding and loosing the way the Pharisees did. We don't want to do it the way they did, where they were binding upon people's minds and their lives just stuff that isn't in there. We want to bind and loose what the Bible says, not other stuff. So we pray for wisdom and ask God for that. And there is a general promise of prayer that God gives us all kinds of things. He'll certainly give us wisdom so we can bind loose in a right way. And why does he do that? Well, in verse 20, where two or three are gathered in his name in the church, he's in the midst of them. Jesus is Emmanuel. He's God with us. Matthew 1 mentioned that. Here it mentions it again, that Jesus is in the midst of the church. He's omnipresent deity. He's in the church. Matthew 28 mentions how he's in the midst of the church also. He's with them until the end of the world. So he's Emmanuel. He's God with us. So his presence is here, and he will give us discernment how to properly interpret the Bible and bind and loose properly. So that's what this passage is talking about here. Now, also I would point out in relation to that Well, first of all, it's talking here in Matthew 18 about true churches. So the whole, you know, Roman Catholic thing is gone. They're not even true church. In terms of like binding Satan or whatever, Satan isn't a member of a New Testament. I certainly hope he's not a member of a New Testament church, you know? Yeah, that would be kind of a bad situation with that. But so this is talking about this authoritative preaching in the church. Now, I will also want to point out where it says, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound, and whatsoever ye loose on earth shall be loosed. What is this connection in heaven and earth here? Why is it talking about the connection between binding in heaven and on earth? Well, the idea, the translation is perfectly correct. I have no problem with the translation. But when it says shall be bound, the idea is that it was already bound in heaven, and what's going on earth is recognizing what actually was taking place in heaven already. You could translate it, this translation is fine, but you could also say, whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven as a continuing state that's already existed this way in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loose in heaven. It was already that way and going on. So we don't, when we bind and loose as a church, when we authoritatively preach the word and teach it, we're not just doing whatever. We don't have an authority to make our own doctrine up. We don't have authority to just decide on something and just put it out there. But what we're doing, since we have the word, we have God's revelation, is we are acting in accordance with what already is decided in heaven. And so when we are preaching and teaching the word, we are authoritatively teaching what God has decided in heaven. And in that sense, whatever is bound on earth, as we authoritatively teach, is already bound in heaven. And whatever we loose on earth is already loosed in heaven. And so that's what's actually going on here. There's the person. We are preaching the word of God in accordance with the will of Christ as he proceeds and directs in that. All right, so that's what's actually going on here. And so the doctrine taught by the apostles and promulgated by true churches is permanently binding on us as the people of God. And Old Testament ceremonial regulations and whatever's not in the Bible is permanently loosed from us. It has no authority over us. We do not need to listen to it. And so that's what's going on with that. The only really reason people might say, so I think we can see it's not the Catholic thing, all right? It's not that. It's also not the binding Satan thing, because it's not even talking about binding people. It's talking about binding things. It's authoritative teaching. There's one passage I want us to address that plenty of people say that's why this is about that. If you take a look at Matthew chapter 12, this is really the only reason, and sometimes good people maybe have just picked up something here or there, and they might never really have heard what the Bible teaches about binding and loosing because it's not taught very much, and maybe they've heard something somewhere else or whatever, and they'll say this or that. But this is clearly what it's about. If you just look in the context, this is clearly it. This is also the historic interpretation, the idea it's something else. Well, the Catholic interpretation has been around for a while. The like Pentecostal one didn't exist until like 1900 or around that time. It's new. It's not what the Bible teaches. But in Matthew chapter 12, if you look at verse, where are we here? I need the reference here. Where did my reference go? Matthew chapter 12, where it's talking about, 29. Okay, so here Jesus is casting out devils. Thank you. So he'll help me to bind what is proper here. Matthew chapter 12 and 29, Christ says, 28, but if I cast the devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. So here, this is you bind the strong man in prayer. But actually, this is talking about Christ casting out devils. It's clearly Jesus is casting out devils. The strong man is Satan, who's possessed somebody. It's his house. You cast out, Jesus casts out Satan, and then that's what's going on. Now, the word bind is used here, but that's really the only connection with the binding and loosing text. And the word bind is a very common word. It's used, for example, of binding a, that when they bound the donkey that Christ went to ride into the city of Jerusalem, they bound the donkey up. It's a common word. So you can't just assume because that word is used, therefore this is what this is about. So here this is Christ casting out demons. It's not talking about us. Certainly there's nothing. Certainly it's appropriate for us to pray that God will hinder Satan, but that's not really what this passage is about. It's about Jesus casting out demons. When actually will Satan be bound? We'll take a look at Revelation chapter 20. And we'll see when Satan will actually be bound. And when Satan is bound, what happens when Satan is bound? Well, in Revelation chapter 20, this is the millennial kingdom. And it says here, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season." So when Satan is actually bound, he's put in this bottomless pit, and he can't affect anything anymore. You have probably, at any given moment, 1,000 charismatics around the world trying to bind Satan, and Satan is doing just fine. Here Satan actually gets bound, and he's put in a bottomless pit, and he can't do anything because he's in there. He's actually, he's taken care of for 1,000 years. And so that's what, if you pray for Satan to be bound and you mean you want the millennium to come, well, that is great. I want the millennium to come too, and I want Satan to be bound. That's great. Praise the Lord. I'm looking forward to that. But before that time, Satan's not going to be put in the bottomless pit and bound up until that time. Now, God certainly stops him from doing certain things and gains victories over this and that, but this is when he's actually going to be bound. You see in Job 2, Satan has access, 1 Peter 5:8, he's roaming the earth, able to tempt and do all these kind of things. So this is the one time when Satan actually gets bound. And before that time, he's not going to get bound. He can certainly lose people that get saved, but he's not going to be bound. There's no verse that says that. In fact, in the Psalms, one of the Psalms actually says they prayed that Satan would stand at the right hand of somebody. So, you know, Satan's going to be around. We should actually be praying. You even see that as judgment. This is Satan's in control of this world. God's righteous judgment is on people, and it's on the lost people till they get saved. So unless they get saved, the judgment is on them. So anyway, so that's what's that. So now, what can we conclude from this? How does this apply to our life? So we see that binding and loosing here is this authoritative teaching and proclamation of the Word of God. That's what it is. And as a church, we have the authority to bind what God has bound in heaven based on the Word and loose what He has loosed in heaven based on the Word. So what does that mean for us? Well, there's a number of things it means, and we'll cover these quickly. First, we should recognize that as part of the church, we have authority to bind and loose. We have the authority to authoritatively preach and teach the Word of God. That is a great blessing. What a blessing. You, as somebody in the Lord's church, or especially you as somebody who is in a teaching or preaching position, you have the privilege to authoritatively proclaim the Word of God. God has given you that privilege. That is an incredible blessing. And you to recognize that that's a great blessing. You know, we're discussing in Sunday school biblical hermeneutics, how to interpret the Bible. We want to get that down because we don't want to bind and loose anything other than what God has said. We don't want to be like the Pharisees. We're binding heavy burdens on people that God didn't say. So let's know what the Bible says. Let's interpret the Bible correctly. Let's make sure that our preaching and teaching of the Word is exactly what God says, so that He's pleased with our binding and loosing, so that we are binding on earth what He has bound in heaven. Another thing, we should see the seriousness of immediate obedience to the preached and taught Word. When the Bible is being proclaimed from the pulpit, or where you're hearing the Bible in Sunday school, that isn't just, you know, pastor's opinion. That isn't just, you know, Pastor John having a bad day. That's the Word of God. This is something that was bound, that heaven authorizes, and we need to listen to it right away. We don't have an option here to say, well, we're going to obey Scripture later. That's nice, and I'm glad that he preached that, but we're just not going to worry about that. No. You need to do it now. You need to do it right away, because it's not just Him. This is bound in heaven. This is God's authority telling us what to do in the Word. So it's not optional to listen to the Word of God. If you think, well, you know, some of these things that they preach here, I can see that it's in the Bible. I don't really have an explanation to get out of it, but I'm just going to kind of not really go that way. Not smart. Not a good decision. Listen to what the Word of God says. Put it in practice right away, because whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven as we're preaching the Word of God. If you're somebody who's, now also, this authority to bind and loose, you mentioned, is not legislative. We don't get to make something up, it's executive. So we also are teaching, we're stewards of the mysteries of God, not creators of new teaching. So whatever teaching, it's what God already says. We're not just creating anything. But if it's in the Word and we're preaching it, that's important. We need to listen and obey that right away. Now, if you're a teacher or you are preaching the Word of God yourself, you won't be able to bind and loose biblically unless you know the Word of God well yourself. So let's say you're a man. You're responsible to instruct your family. Well, you better know the Word of God well so that you can be authoritatively teaching the Word of God in accordance with what it actually says. That's really important. You know, it's the body of Christ. We gather on every Lord's Day and here on Wednesday, and we're supposed to be provoking one another to love and good works. Let's be binding and loosening. Let's be talking about what Scripture says. Let's be exhorting one another to put it in practice, because whatever we are teaching from the Word here, this is heaven recognizes it. This is really important. Let's be talking about that. Let's not just be talking about whatever on the Lord's Day, stuff that doesn't matter. Let's be exhorting one another to listen to the Word of God. Okay? Let's be also effectively using the sword of spirit with the unconverted. This is also something that can be an encouragement to us, the fact that we have the authority to bind and loose what Scripture says. This is going to be authority. This is a blessing because, you know, probably if you have unsaved relatives, they think you are crazy, okay? At least, you know, you know what that's like. Whoa, those Baptists, they are crazy. Woo, weird, okay? People in the world think you are weird. You're at least Bible thumping. I mean, they wear these weird clothes and do this and that. Well, you know what? They may not like what you're doing that much, but if it's in the Bible, heaven likes it. Heaven likes it. We are binding and loosing not just our ideas, but what was bound on heaven. All right? So maybe there's pressure from the world, but we can be encouraged because God is pleased with it. So let's fear God, obey what He says, and not worry about that. Fear God and not worry about those things. Also, we can recognize that since the death of the apostles, the church is the only institution to bind and loose. All right? So the church is really important. If you learn something, you listen to VCY or in some parachurch Bible college or whatever, you hear the Word of God and learn something true, that's great. I'm really happy about that. But it's the church that was given the authority to bind and loose. They're the ones that Jesus gave the authority to authoritatively proclaim the Word. So let's value the church really highly. This is the only institution God has given in this age that has the authority from God, the keys, to authoritatively proclaim the Word. Let's treasure the church as we ought to. And let's be supportive of the Word that is preached. You know, let's not undermine it. Sometimes, you know, my wife is a teacher in the school, and I've taught in a Christian school. You can see situations where they're teaching the Word of God in the classroom, and then maybe the parents are undercutting it. Or maybe you're not in this school, but you see the parents are like, they don't like things that are taught, and they don't want to listen to it. That is just devastating to a family. You are asking for trouble in your family if when the authoritative Word of God is being given, you try to undercut it, you try to not listen to it. That's really not a good situation. Don't do that. Support the Word that it's preached. It's not just man's opinion, it's what God says. And so that's all very, very important. And then certainly... Well, there's a lot of other applications we can make, but we're out of time. So, what is binding and loosing? Binding and loosing is clearly, it's the authoritative preaching and teaching of the Word of God. We bind and loose biblical doctrine. We loose people from things that they don't have to do. We bind what they do have to do. The church is the authority to do that, and that's what the passage is about. It's not about the Pope telling us what to do. It's not some charismatic doctrine of binding Satan who's not going to be bound to the millennium. And so that's what it is. Let's take that seriously. Let's put in practice what the Word says. Let's authoritatively exhort one to love and good works. And let's let this truth change our life, that we have this authority in the church, and we can do that, and we have the Word of God to listen to. Let that affect your life in a great way. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for giving the church the keys, the authority to bind and to loose. And what a blessing that is that you've told us what we can do in the Bible, and that we have the privilege of authoritatively preaching and teaching it, and that we can not do what the Pharisees did in binding things that aren't in there and loosing things that are in there. And I pray you'd help us to appropriately use that authority and help us to treasure the Word of God, treasure the preaching of the Word of God, so that because you treasure it so highly. And would you bless our time of prayer now? We pray this for Christ's sake. Amen.